This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We begin today's discussion about what is the intent of our gathering today, because some individuals may think that we're here to ridicule, to mock, or to entertain individuals. So if people have that intention inside their heart, they should remove that straight away. We haven't come here to mock at individuals or to call people names or to look down upon certain individuals. Previously, there may have been a lack of commitment from our part, from being over emotional on a lecture that was presented, which has created some form of ill feeling towards other individuals. Others have been busy collecting our mistakes, whether it be from the Quranic verses or the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or lines of poetry that we may have mentioned or quoted before. And others have been busy in trying to carry out a character assassination. Put all of this aside, as we are human beings. Nukhti wa nusib. At times we are correct, and many times we are wrong. So we're not interested in who is delivering the words or what the mistakes of the individual at this state are, the words that we're delivering previously and today as well. Nobody has, till now, alhamdulillah, refuted or rejected the main content. That is what we're looking at, the main content of what was presented. Not to find the many mistakes that we have, or to begin to release evil words which are against the sunnah and the etiquettes of a good Muslim. So that is our intent, inshallah, whenever we gather, to benefit ourselves and likewise to be just. Because today, inshallah, we're going to be just. That is the pattern of thought that we're going to follow, that we're going to present the main core beliefs, and then let people decide for themselves what is the correct interpretation according to the Quran and the Sunnah of the beliefs of possibly a large portion of certain Muslims in the subcontinent, the beliefs that they hold, and likewise in possibly other regions as well. The Quran tells us, يَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Are you believe? Stand in justice, in equity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, testifying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even if it happens to be against your own self. That is the way of Ahl Sunnah, that we are men, we are individuals, to admit when we are wrong. Every single human being is fallible, makes mistakes. The only one who is infallible was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Imam Malik mentioned, pointing to his blessed grave, that everybody's statements are taken or rejected, illa sahibu hadha al-qabr, except for the companion of this grave. You don't pick and choose his words. You take his words in totality. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the messenger tells you to take it. Whatever he tells you to stay away from, stay away from it. Likewise, another similar verse inside Surah Al-Ma'idah that we find, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ الشُّهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Or you believe once again, stand in justice, stand in equity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Don't let the enemy or the hatred of others make you to become unfair, to be unjust. That's what the Quran teaches us. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Be just and fair, that is closer to piety, proximity and closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, inshallah, we intend to be fair, to be just, and present the main beliefs or the main misconceptions and leave it for all of us to judge. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show those people who are seeking the light. No one will be left in a state of darkness. The topic at hand, the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Quran mentions, يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to His light whomever He wants. This is a verse inside Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides individuals towards that light. And for those individuals in the same surah who don't want to come towards that light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't place that nur, doesn't place that light, there will be no light for that individual. That is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have been entrusted, or the one who has been entrusted with showing or encouraging or carrying, directing mankind towards that light. Who is that individual who's been entrusted to carry people towards that light? The Quran mentions quite clearly, Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. Indeed, O Prophet, we have sent you as a one who is a witness, standing as a testimony over mankind, giving glad tidings and warning people. And thus you find even the phrase of Ya ayyuha an-nabi, you find ulama of tafsir of Quran have mentioned that Imam al-Shanqiti, Sahib Adwa al-Bayan, that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never uses his name directly. Other messengers have been called, Nuh, Ibrahim, Ya Yahya, called by their name. But the messenger, Ya Ayyuha Rasul, Ya Ayyuha Nabi, is always called directly as a form of sharaf, of nobility, of rank, of dignity. And when the name, on those three or four occasions of Quran, the name Muhammad is mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inside the Quran, is talking in the third person, or talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we know the rights and the sharaf and the rank that belongs to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَالسِّرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. You are one who is calling to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are وَالسِّرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. You are the blazing lamp. Your guidance, the words that you utter, الْجَوَامِعُ الْكَلِمْ, the concise words, the magnitude of the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, attract people towards that light. Until we find what are the benefits. The Quran mentions the benefits of those individuals who begin to get attracted towards that lamp. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ فَضْلًا كَبِيرًا. Give the believers the glad tiding that for them there will be immense goodness, immense virtue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever responds to that light, whoever responds to that call. The other main ayah in discussion that we're going to highlight, and we're willing to accept, that many mufassirun have mentioned this ayah is referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter, verse number 15, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, there has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the nur, the light, and a clear book. So we're willing to accept As we're going to mention, that Nur here is referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And return back to the beginning of the light, when the light actually began. And that helps us to understand the discrepancies or the misguidance of these individuals, how they begin to reinterpretate those blessed texts or the right approval towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon birth, you find light was disseminating upon the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But once again, the authenticity is questionable. Ibn Sa'ad, a famous mu'arrikh of the seerah, who mentions that his mother mentioned, Amina, that she mentioned, أَنَّهَا رَأَتْ حِينَ وَدَعَتُ نُورًا أَضَاعَتْ لَهُ قُصُورُ الشَّامِ. When she gave birth to him, she saw a light came out the time of his birth, and this light went all the way to the castles of in the area of Sham. So as I mentioned, this hadith inside or statement inside the Muslim Imam Ahmad needs to be authenticated and checked. What does it mean that this light disseminated? As we know, there's other narrations which are clearly false that people begin to rely upon them. Highly controversial, whereby people begin to say that when the Prophet Muhammad was born, or before his birth, precursors before his birth, you find that 14 galleries of Kisra's palace were cracked and rolled down. You find that the fire that the Magians, the fire worshippers were worshipping, that fire, it burnt out, but it went dim. Likewise, you find they mentioned that some churches even collapsed. This is ghulu that's been mentioned. And a large portion of the evidences that these people, they rely upon is the work of Al-Khasa'is Al-Nabawiyyah Al-Kubra, the great Sunan, or the actions of the Prophet Muhammad, written by Imam al-Suyuti, with the full title being Kifayat al-Talib al-Labib fi Khasa'is al-Habib. That will be mind-setting, or helping the mind and the understanding of the mind of the intellectual student regarding the khasa'is, the specific characteristics of the beloved one, meaning the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ by Imam al-Suyuti in two volumes. So many narrations have been mentioned there, and these narrations are highly, highly questionable or fabricated narrations. But because Imam Suyuti is such a reputable individual, but as we mentioned, we're going to be just and fair. We don't look at the name of the individual. We look at the evidences. So if Imam Suyuti is wrong, he's wrong. If Ibn Taymiyyah is wrong, he's wrong. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah is wrong, he's wrong. If Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab is wrong, he's wrong. So why is your Shaykh's never wrong? Why is your Imam never wrong? We're willing to accept that there may be misquotations or incorrect teachings that some people may have come across. Likewise, you find the other signs, we recognize the other signs that have been mentioned upon the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his foster mother Halima, that you find the riding beast that she was riding upon became carrying more milk, etc. The angel Jibreel alayhi salam came and split open the blessed chest of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why you read the tafsir of Surah Al-Inshirah, Alam nashrah laka sadrak, read the tafsir in great detail. You find that twice it happened in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first time being qabla nubuwa, before prophethood. So we believe in those miracles which have been documented by ulama of seerah. We believe in them and we don't reject them, that there was many miraculous actions that did occur upon the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there has to be a criteria that we follow. As a side point, Imam al-Bayhaqi wrote a whole 8 volumes of Dala'il al-Nubuwa, the evidences of the prophethood, of the evidences of his coming, the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So strange it is that the messengership, the message for the people was strange. So these characteristics that we find in Shama'il Muhammadiyah written by Imam Tirmidhi are all beneficial, that we should adopt and we should follow them. But the key element is the message. How many of us are clinging to the actual message brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? As the Quran mentioned, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. I'm not amongst the new messengers. There were many messengers that came before, so I'm not something new, that I've come with a new message, I'm not something new. وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ. I don't know what's going to happen to me, and nor do I know what's going to happen to you. إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ وَمَا أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. I only follow that which has been revealed down upon me, I am only one who is a clear warner to you. So here this clear-cut ayah inside the 46th chapter of the Quran, verse number 9, that I am only a clear warner. I don't know what's going to happen to myself, and I don't know what's going to happen to you. My task is only to receive the revelation and then convey that to the people in a clear manner. Likewise, we find that from this concept of the beginning of the nur, we find the second element that people begin to write, that the Prophet Muhammad had no shade. He had no shade. What is the evidence of this? So rather than focusing on the main source of the light, they begin to worry about the shade of the Prophet Muhammad. Once again, Imam Suyuti has mentioned this inside his Al-Khasa'is Al-Kubra, has mentioned this. لَمْ يَكُنْ يَرَى لَهُ ذُلْ فِي الشَّمْسِ وَلَا قَمَرٍ. There was no shade for the Prophet Muhammad. If he walked in the sun, if he walked in the moon, there was no shade for him. And this statement is fabricated. The authenticity is not true. They also tried to use the evidence that وَجَعَلُّ nura, the dua that we make walking to the masjid, place nur in front of me, behind me, on my right, on my left, above me and below me, in my heart. وَجَعَلِّ nura. They take this literally. That's the problem. Many of the words, they take them literally to justify that the Prophet Muhammad is physical light, that he is actually nur. But we can all understand وَجَعَلِّ nura, place nur, light into my heart, is a dua that we all make today now whilst walking to the masjid. Are we now asking physically that place a part of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside our hearts, inside our body, as some people are trying to interpretate? And we know that everything has been created with a shade. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every living thing, as you find numerous ayat inside the Quran which talk about that everything reclines or falls down in prostration, which has a shade towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside Surah An-Nahl, the 16th chapter of the Quran. Likewise, inside the hereafter we find there will be a shade there inside the Akhirah as well. وَدَانِيَةً عَلَيْهُمْ ذُلَالُهَا وَذُلِّلَتْ قُتُوفُهَا تَذْلِيلًا. They'll be reclining underneath the shade in paradise and taking the fruits that we're hanging from the branches. So there's a shade upon this earth and there's a shade inside the Akhirah as well. Maybe some of us thinking, well, this isn't strong enough evidence to reject the point. So we find the hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and likewise Tabaqat al-Kubra that we find from Zainab and another one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad, that he was one day approaching, فَبَيْنَمَا أَنَا يَوْمٌ بِنِسْفِ النَّهَارِ إِذَا أَتَى لِظِلِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُقْبِلًا. So one day we saw that a shadow, a shade was coming towards us. And that shade was a shade of who? The Prophet Muhammad. So this is from the hadith, clearly highlighting that the one who was approaching, there was a shade that was approaching us. And when we looked up, that shade was a shade of who? The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So according to Quran and Sunnah, we attribute and we believe that the Prophet Muhammad had a shade as being the complete human being. Likewise, we find the other element or the reason for the cause for the presence of the nur is the parents. We don't reject that fact. And this is where we find another element of ghulu, of excessive belief towards the parents of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. There are three main views held by the ulama, as we mentioned, we're going to be fair. The first view, that they were believers. The second view, they were disbelievers. And the third view, that we find they were Ahlul Fatrah, in a time period, in a space in between two messengers. So the first view, that the parents of the messenger, ﷺ, they are believers, because they begin to highlight it is not possible for the final Prophet to have disbelief in his lineage, especially his parents. So this is the main context, emotional understanding. It's not possible, him being the final messenger, that in his lineage, in his bloodstream, there should be kufr that should exist there. So every lineage of the Prophet Muhammad is pure. We cannot attribute that his parents or his grandparents or anybody in that lineage was a disbeliever. Second, we find this is, they say, insulting and belittling the Prophet Muhammad. So this is the main rationale that they're trying to tell people. And as we mentioned, many famous ulama that of Ahlul Sunnah have taken this belief. We're not rejecting that view. We're not saying it's totally unacceptable. Likewise, we find that Imam Suyuti, once again, he goes to the view, أَنَّهُمَا يَنِي لَمْ تَبْلُغْهُمَا الدَّعْوَى. The da'wah, the three types of individuals who classify that they are disbelievers. The first type is, the da'wah did not come to them. So the call of Islam was not received to them. وَلَا عَذَابْ عَلَى مَنْ لَمْ تَبْلُغُ الدَّعْوَى. So no punishment for the person who never received the message. So the first group, under the ban of disbelievers, they say that they are definitely going into paradise, because the message was not delivered to them based upon the ayah inside the Quran, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We're never going to punish a people until the messenger doesn't come to them. So using this verse as an evidence and saying that the message was not delivered to the parents of the Prophet Muhammad, they should be going to paradise. That is the stance of Imam Suyuti that we find. The second view that we find, أَنَّهُمَا كَانَ عَلَى التَّوْحِيدِ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ.
The second view that we find of Shaykh al-Tahir ibn Ashur, that they are people of Tawheed. They were upon the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The third subsection that we find, أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَحْيَاهُمَا لِنَبِيِّهِ فِي آخِرْ حَيَاتِهِ فَآمَنَّا. That towards the end of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were brought back alive. They were brought back alive in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they testified and they died. And this statement that we find, they tend to quote this continuously to prove their point. This statement, كُلُّ هَذِي الْأَحَدِيثِ مِنَ الْأَبَاطِيلِ وَالْمَوْدُعَاتِ. All these ahadith which talk about the bringing of life back of the parents of the Prophet are all invented lies. They're false lies. All the ulama of hadith that we find, Ad-Darqutni, Ibn al-Jawzi, Ibn Asakir, Wad-Dahabi, Ibn Hajar, Ibn Taymiyyah, all of them, they conclude, these are all fabricated narrations. There is no authenticity at all that towards the end of the life of the Prophet Muhammad, his parents were brought back alive in front of him. They made the testimony, they made the shahadatain, then they died once again. This is all falsehood that they're trying to attribute towards the Prophet, the parents of the Prophet Muhammad. And they go to even a further degree that some of the Shia, they begin to write that even Abu Talib was brought back alive again. He was brought back alive because why? Abu Talib is from where? The lineage of the Prophet Muhammad. Hatta jadduhu. Even his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, was brought back alive. These are all the false narrations, fabricated narrations, just to justify their point, to prove their point, that all of the lineage of the Prophet Muhammad is a pure yani lineage. The second view, as we mentioned, is Ahlul Fatra, the people of in between yani two yani messengers. Hiya ma kanat bayna rasulain, is between two messengers, like we find between Nuh and Idris. There's a gap, a time span between Nuh alayhi salam and Idris, and likewise between Isa wa nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and hadith of Bukhari, some 600 years. So those people who came between that time span between Isa and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a gap of 600 years. So what is the ruling of those individuals? So this is the second group of ulama who go to the view of having sukut, of remaining silent about the position of the parents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here once again it splits into various understandings of who are Ahlul Fatra. The first group that we found, من بلغته الدعوة, those group of people that the da'wah was conveyed to them, they received the message. They received the message. For example, first we find من بلغته الدعوة ووحدة ولم يشرك. Person received the message, the previous message, and we find that they were classified as hunafa, hanif, and they did not associate any partners towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have documented evidence of this according to ahadith and narrations. Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl or Waraka ibn Nawfal are classified as those individuals who are from Ahlul Fatra. The message came to them, they did not change the message, they submitted, so they're classified as Muslims. The second group that we find, man ballaghathu da'wa walakinahu ghayra wa ashraka. The da'wah was received to them, but they changed it and they committed shirk. Under this subsection, the ulama go to review, this concerns Amr ibn Luhay, Amr Rasul, Jad Rasul, and Abu Rasul. Under this section, you find that Amr ibn Luhay, this individual, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad, the grandfather, and the parents of the messenger come under this section. They are those individuals, Ahlul Fatra, that the message was delivered to them, but they changed it and they did not accept it. The second group, the other total section that we find, من تبلغ الدعوة وبقي على حين غفلة. That the da'wah did not come to them and they were in a state of heedlessness. Even these individuals you find, ulama mentioned, يُمْتَحِنُونَ بِالنَّارِ. They'll be tested by the fire. Meaning they'll be told to jump into the fire. If they jump into the fire on the day of judgment, they'll be actually jumping into where? Into paradise. So this is the second group of individuals, Ahlul Fatra, that the parents are possibly in that middle span, the message could have received to them, they submitted or they changed it. But the third stance is what concerns us, that the parents of the Prophet Muhammad are classified as disbelievers. Person shouldn't take that emotionally and get upset, because we're going to lay out according to Quran and Sunnah that those scholars, why they've gone to that view, just like those respected scholars, why they went to that view. So it's not possible for the Prophet's lineage before or after to contain any kufr. But when we read through the Quran in great detail, we find time and time again inside the Quran, whether it be وَنَادَى نُوحُ رَبَّهُ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَعِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ. When Nuh alayhi salam, he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed Nuh is my son, he's my blessed son, and indeed your promise is true. that I'm making a supplication for you to protect and to deliver my son. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكُمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ And you are the best of judges. قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ He's no longer your family member. So the word أهل that we find according to the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ What makes us brethren isn't blood brothers. It may be good if we believe we're blood brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ It's our faith. So the Quran is rebuking Nuh alayhi salam. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ He's no longer from your family. He's no longer your blood. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ His actions are corrupt actions. Actions of shirk going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise you find Lut alayhi salam. His wife the Quran mentions. إِلَّا امْرَأَتَهُ قَدَّرْنَا إِنَّهَا لَمِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ Indeed the wife of Lut alayhi salam, we decreed that she's going to turn away. She's going to be a woman who rejects. Likewise you find Ibrahim alayhi salam. Quran mentions quite clearly inside Surah At-Tawbah, وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ عَمْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ Indeed, the seeking forgiveness for Ibrahim alayhi salam لِأَبِيهِ for his father was a promise that he had been made or appointed time upon him. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوُّ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَأَوَّاهٌ حَلِيمٌ When he was exposed to him, he was taught, evidence was presented to him that your father is an individual, is an enemy towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He disassociated himself from his own father. Indeed, Ibrahim was one who was patient, repenting, and a forbearing any individual. So here we find the key words, li abihi. These people try to come along, right inside tafsir, etc., that this is not his father. This was his uncle. It's not his father here, but the Quran is quite clear, li abihi. His father, likewise, finally, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ أَزَرَ Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father Azar. Likewise, you find, وَغْفِرْ لِأَبِي Forgive my father. So this type of ta'wilat, this type of making tafsir of the ayah, that this is not referring to Ibrahim alayhi salam's father, it's referring to his uncle, trying to defend their point that Ibrahim's father can't be a kafir. It's his uncle. It's a subsidiary individual. It's not directly the blood or the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Strange it is, that the verse that we find straight after it, what does it mention? مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ It's not befitting for the Prophet and those who believe أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ to seek forgiveness for the mushrikun وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ After being clearly highlighted to you that these are the people of the hellfire. Go back and read the tafsir of this ayah. You either find it refers to the mother of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He sought permission to come to her grave. Then he sought permission to seek her forgiveness. And the permission was granted to visit her grave, but permission to seek forgiveness first was rejected. Again they make ta'wil. They say that he asked again and then it was allowed. فَهَذَا بَاطِلٌ This is false. There's no hadith that states this. The Quranic ayah is clear. He sought forgiveness. It was not allowed to seek forgiveness for those people who died upon shirk. Likewise, you find other ulama go to the views talking about Abu Talib, his beloved uncle. And that's what the Quran mentions. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ You cannot guide whom you love. You cannot guide them. You cannot show them the right path or make iman enter to their heart. Likewise, you find لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ It's not upon you to guide. The Prophet ﷺ does not guide. He's just highlighting the lamp. He shows people the way to follow. He cannot instill that within individuals. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ You're not one compelling people. If you could compel people, he would compel whom to believe? All those individuals that were beloved to him. That means love and devotion he had towards Abu Talib. That's what Ahlul Sunnah, we don't negate that fact. That's you find that the Shafa'ah of the Prophet Muhammad will be even done for who? For Abu Talib. The hadith shifa'ah, khasa. This is specific only for the Prophet Muhammad. Apart from that, a Muslim is not allowed to intercede for a kafir. Never allowed. Illa lil Rasul. On this one occasion, because of Abu Talib's commitment and protection towards the Prophet Muhammad, that this shifa'ah will be allowed. But even the intercession is what? What will happen to Abu Talib? He'll have to wear what? Two shoes, sandals of fire and laces of fire that will make his brain boil. So even then he's still not rescued. It's just going to be takhfif al-adab, some lessening of the punishment for Abu Talib. So we believe in that. We don't reject that shafa'a is allowed. Likewise, the other shafa'at al-kubra that will be given to the Prophet Muhammad on the final day. Likewise, you find, وَلَا تُسْأَلْ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. Don't ask about the people of hellfire. Imam Suyuti, Sahib al-Durr al-Manfur, who mentions, أَنْتَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. Don't ask about the people of Jahannam. And some weak narrations we mentioned, don't ask about the people of Jahannam. He's talking about their parents and the family members who disbelieved of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another reading that we find, وَلَا تَسْأَلْ عَلَى أَنَّهُ نَهْيُ لِلْرَسُولِ عَنِ السُّعَالِ عَنْ حَالِ أَبَوَيْهِ كَمَا قَالَ Shaykh al-Baydawi in his tafsir. So this, if you read it as وَلَا تَسْأَلْ بِالْفَتْحَ as well, jazm al-sukoon at the end of the lam. If you read it, وَلَا تَسْأَلْ, don't you messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam ask, prohibition for you that you're not allowed to ask about the station or the rank of your parents or what will happen to them. As for the father of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find in the hadith in Sahih Muslim that we find, if you go back to the chapter, bab bayan anna man mata ala al-kufr fa huwa fi an-nar wa la tanaluhu shafa'atun wa la tanfa'u qarabat al-muqarrabin. So Imam Muslim in his chapter heading, he mentions that man mata ala al-kufr, whoever dies upon disbelief, fa huwa fi an-nar, that person will be inside the hellfire. وَلَا تَنَالُوا شَفَاعَةٌ, no intercession will be granted that individual. وَلَا تَنْفَعُوا قَرَابَةً مُقَرَّبِينَ, and no proximity or closeness of a family member will allow for that person to intercede for that individual. This is Imam Muslim's chapter heading. And we know that in chapters of hadith that you find the ulama, they write them, this becomes their fatwa. This becomes a religious ruling. So when Imam Bukhari mentions any bab such and such, that's not just he's bringing a hadith, that's his religious verdict. Likewise, Imam Muslim, that is his religious verdict. As far as he classifies that the Prophet's best parents, they're disbelievers. And he mentions this hadith inside Sahih Muslim, you can go and check it inside Kitab al-Iman. أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيْنَ أَبِي. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad and said, أَيْنَ أَبِي, where's my father? فَقَالَ فِي النَّارِ. The messenger said, your father is in the hellfire. فَلَمَّا قَفَّ دَعَاهُ. When he walked away, the Prophet called him back. Because this is shaq. It's difficult to say to a man, your father is inside the hellfire. Called him back, فَقَالْ إِنَّ أَبِي وَأَبَاكَ فِي النَّارِ. My father and your father are both in the hellfire. So now once again, Imam Suyuti, he classified this hadith as weak. Hadith in Sahih Muslim, no matter how much love and respect we have for Imam Suyuti, hadith is inside Sahih Muslim. No ulama of Ahlul Sunnah will come and stand up and say that there are weak narrations inside the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and Muslim. So that goes against the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. That's what Imam Suyuti is going away, drifting away. We're taking this view of making ta'wil that this hadith is da'if. This hadith is rejected. Likewise, another ta'wil that these people try to bring, إِنَّ أَبِي بِمَعْنَى عَمِّي, my uncle, because Abu Talib died as a disbeliever. So they try to make this ta'wil, that indeed, your father, it doesn't make sense. So first he said, your father's in hellfire, and then he said that my uncle. So how can Abi mean my uncle? So as far as Ahlul Sunnah are concerned, it's crystal clear. The messenger mentioned clear words that indeed my father and your father are both inside the hellfire. Then they bring another excuse. They say the messenger mentioned it in a state of anger. He was angry, he got frustrated, so basically to comfort the individual. And so he decided to say that my father and your father are both in the hellfire, in a state of anger. Is this acceptable? وَمَا لَمْ تِقُوا عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He never speaks of his desires. The Prophet never speaks out of his desires. Anything he speaks is divine revelation. That's what he said to the companion, Uqtub, right? He said, Ya Rasulullah, times you get angry, times you're happy, what should we do? He said, right. Because wallahi, whatever comes from my mouth is nothing but what? Revelation. So this blame, this is what you call being disrespectful to the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad. To make this blame, that he said it in a state of anger, in a state of frustration, this goes against the clear and explicit meaning of this hadith that we find. Imam Nawawi explains this hadith, a great explainer of Sahih Muslim, 18, 19 odd volumes that you find, mentions, أَنَّ مَنْ مَاتَ فِي الْفَتْرَةِ عَلَىٰ مَا كَانَتْ عَلَىٰ الْعَرَبْ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ. Those people, Ahlul Fatra, who died in that time span between Isa and the Prophet Muhammad, most of them were what? They were worshipping idols. They were statue worshippers. فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Those people are going to be from amongst the people of hellfire. وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مُؤَاخَذَةٌ قَبْلَ بُلُوغُ الدَّعْوَةِ. This doesn't mean that they're going to be excused, or this is because before da'wah was brought upon them. فإن هؤلاء كانت قد بلغتهم دعوة إبراهيم وغيره وغيره من الأنبياء وغيره من الأنبياء. Indeed, the da'wah of Ibrahim came to them, and other calls of the Anbiya came to them, but they changed it. That is the stance of Imam Nawawi explaining this hadith. Then you find straight after this, you find Imam Muslim, he mentions the following bab, the following chapter, bab fi qawli ta'ala, وَأَنْبِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, warn your close family members. Why is he mentioning this straight after this chapter? And mention, read the hadith, the Prophet Muhammad calls upon Safiya, his aunt, calls upon his Abbas, his uncle, calls upon Safiya, his wife, calls upon Fatima bint Muhammad, calls upon them that seek whatever you want, do whatever you want to do, claim whatever you want. I cannot give you anything on that day. And he called out to the people, announced to the people. Likewise, you read Tafsir of Surah Al-Lahab as well, various narrations. This is why Abu Lahab said, is this why you called us? And that's the Quran came, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin watab. That he called out and said, يَنِي تَبَّنْ يَدَيْكْ مَنْ your two hands perish, أَجَّمَعْتَنَا لِهَذَا. This is why you're calling us to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran sent down revelation, another mu'jiz, another miracle. Abu Lahab is living. That may your two hands burn, may you perish in a state of loss. So all of this is highlighting the understanding that the Prophet Muhammad cannot benefit his family members. All he can do is advise them, call them towards the guidance, and if they respond, then that will be something beneficial for them inside this world and likewise inside the Akhirah as well. So the nur has to continue. The nur has to be spread. So whilst they are busy worrying about this, we need to carry on with the nur of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we find, what is the meaning of nur? You find a verse inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter, verse number 15, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, there has come, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a light and a clear book. We need to firstly look at the context of this ayah and it help us to understand everything will become crystal clear. As we know in the ulum al-Qur'an and tafsir that we find, is always to read the ayat before and look at the context, siyaq al-ayat, to help us to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. So we know that Surah Al-Ma'idah is a large surah that's mainly talking about Ahlul Kitab. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا كُنْتُمْ تُخْفُونَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. O people of the book, indeed he has come to you, our messenger, who explains to you many of the things that you are concealing, that you are hiding from the book, and you used to pass over. If you go and read it to see this ayah, you find in the ayah to Rajam, which is placed inside the Torah, whereby the person who committed adultery had to be stoned, so they tried to conceal this ayah. So this ayah was sent down exposing them. You're trying to conceal the ayat of the Qur'an, and then it mentions, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. So that is the siyaq, the context of the ayah. مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come the nur. So we're going to list all of the classical ulama tafaseer, and even those tafaseer, excuse expression, may be classified as deviant tafaseer, how they've concluded what is the meaning of nur according to this verse inside the Qur'an. First you find جامل البيان في التفسير القرآن of Imam al-Tabari, مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ يَعْنِي بِالنُّورِ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So we're not rejecting that fact. That is, nur is referring to the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الَّذِي أَنَارَ اللَّهُ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَظْهَرَ بِهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via that light or the message of the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that the truth is being presented, and you find that Islam becomes dominant and becomes powerful, and you find that shirk is expelled or taken away for her nur. لمن استنار به يبين الحق. So that nur will be for the one who seeks that light and follows that light, then the truth will be made apparent for that individual. As for to go to the view, أنه خلق من نور, that he's been created from light, physical light, none of the ulama of the tafsir we're going to mention have ever concluded that. There's four or five general views that they mention, that the nur is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, or the nur is the Quran, or the nur is a radiant blazing light, or the nur is Torah, or the nur is Musa alayhi salam. Those are the general statements that you find that all of the ulama tafaseer that you have mentioned. Not one of them goes to the view to take it physically, that the nur means physically that the Prophet Muhammad is light or has been created from light. We mentioned that previously. Those ahadith are fabricated ahadith that the Prophet Muhammad has been created from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divided into various portions, and some of that light came into the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا كُنْتُمْ تُخْفُونَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. So someone is concealing something, just like this context is ayah, that the Ahlul Kitab were concealing something. Many things they were concealing. Likewise today, unfortunately, some people are concealing many things. We are openly saying this is what the Quran says, this is what the Sunnah says, and this is what the classical ulama have said. We're not concealing or hiding anything. We're not making ta'wil. We're not twisting the words. We're not changing the words. And today, inshallah, we're not getting emotional. It's crystal clear. These are the evidences for any sensible individual to go back and logically, systematically go and study them and understand what the Quran and the Sunnah is saying. And thus we find that just like the ayah inside the Quran, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali of the people who believe, takes them out from the realms of darknesses and brings them to the nur. So what is the meaning of nur? Is the nur here meaning part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does it mean that clearly all of us can understand comes towards the path of guidance, the right path? Thus we find it does not mean the person becomes a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is nur, light of the heavens and the earth. Inside this ayah, once again, inside Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of the Quran. So that nur, what does it mean? Does it mean that we become part of that nur? Does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws down that nur upon us? It begins to come within us? No, it's quite crystal clear what that nur, or the meaning of that nur is. The meaning is clear. Likewise, the Quran uses another parable towards the messenger as we began with. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. We made you the blazing, a lamp spreading light. So just like we know that the lamp, it spreads light, it glows. So he's knew that his message spreads light. The message that he came with, it spreads far and wide. People get attracted towards that message. Not that he is physically, he becomes the light. And for completion, shall we go to quote you know, the respectable works of Yanita Fasir. You could go back and study them in your own time. So, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ النُّورِ الجامع الأحكام القرآن of Imam Qurtubi, the famous Andalusian Spanish scholar, أي ضياء قيل النور الإسلام قيل النور هو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. تفسير القرآن الكريم of Ibn Kathir means talks about the ayah, was talking about ayat al-Rajm, that the Jews were concealing inside the Quran. So then the Quran came down and exposed any what they were trying to do. أنوار التنزيل وأسرار التأويل of Imam al-Baydawi يعني النور بمعنى القرآن فإنه الكاشف للظلمات الشق والضلال. The Quran is what removes the doubt, takes the darknesses, brings a person towards the light. وَالْكِتَابَ الْوَاضِحْ الْإِعْجَازِ. This is a clear, miraculous book. Clear examples of the Quran. وَقِيلَ يُرِيد بِالنُّورِ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. They said that nur carries the meaning of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. تَفْسِيرُ الْجِلَالَيْنِ of Mahalli وَالسَّيُوطِي. يُرِيد القرآن وَهُوَ النَّبِيُّ. Nur is the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. الْكَشَّافُ Imam Zamakhshari says, and we know that Imam Zamakhshari, we know Mu'tazila, yani Aqidah, and his rationalistic approach, but he even goes to the view that the ma'na nur, you read the Quran, the nur is the Quran. Mafatih al-Ghayb, Tafsir al-Kabir of Imam Razi, and the Murad al-Nur, Muhammad, or al-Islam. Tafsir al-Quran, al-Firawz al-Badi, nur bima'na ya'ni Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bahr al-Ulum, al-Samarqandi, al-Nur bima'na diya'un, min al-Dalalati, wa huwa Muhammad, al-Nur huwa al-Quran, fa huwa al-Nuran. Likewise, find the tafsir of Kitab al-Aziz ibn Atiyah, يحتمل أن يريد محمد ويحتمل والقرآن أو الموسى والتوراة. So if Musa and the Torah automatically lead you to who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran. Zad al-Masih, في علم التفسير وإبن الجوزي that we find, قال قتادة يعني بالنور النبي محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال غيره هو الإسلام. Is another view that ulama of tafsir have mentioned. تفسير القرآن ابن عبد السلام يعني النور بمعنى محمد أو بمعنى القرآن. مدارك التنزيل وحقائق التأويل في إمام النسفي يريد القرآن النور محمد لأنه يهتدي به كما سمي سراجا. So these are all classical علماء تفسير who mention these views. Like البحر المحيط of أبو حيان we find قيل هو القرآن سماه نورا. So نور carries the meaning it is the Quran. That's why it's been called the نور. Among the names of the Quran is النور that we find. النور هو الرسول. The light is a messenger, or is al-Islam, or is Musa. So in conclusion, we can conclude, you follow the messenger, you follow the Quran, you follow Islam, you gain the light. That's the interpretation of this ayat. That's what it boils down to, whether you follow Musa, you follow the Torah is now mansukha, is abrogated, so you have to follow the Quran, you follow the Prophet Muhammad, you follow the path, you follow Islam, you follow the Sharia, you automatically come to the end result is what? Is the light. Is the light of guidance. And thus you find, gain that light, spiritual guidance, and likewise the light, the worldly light as well. And you find the context in the conclusion, the following verse mentions what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَهْدِي بِاللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رُدْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ. Whoever قد جاءكم من الله نور وكتاب مبين. Whoever, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down that nur and that clear book, whoever follows that book, or that book guides the person to subul as-salam, to the correct paths. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. So once again, this book, or the messenger, or the light, takes people out from where? From the realms of darknesses and brings them to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guides them to yani, the authentic yani, path. So rather than trying to follow the light, we try to, some of us are trying to get to the end and we try to go back to the source of the light. When we travel back to the source of the light has been extinguished, it no longer exists. And you'll understand what I'm trying to highlight here, the light is there. Carry on following the light. Don't try to return back to the source of the light. You go back to the source of the light has been taken away. Meaning that these people, they believe that the Prophet Muhammad is still alive today. So they want to go back to the beginning of the light, rather than carrying on the journey of following the light, which is carrying on through that tunnel to come to the end of that journey. They want to make the journey back and prove the point that the essence of the light still exists today. Based upon certain evidences we mentioned, we're going to be crystal clear. Hadith that we find, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ حَرَّمَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَنْ تَأْكُلَ أَجْسَادُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram for the earth to decompose or to eat the flesh, the body of the Anbiya, of all the prophets, not just the Prophet Muhammad, all the prophets have been preserved, that their body will not be decomposed, it will be preserved just like the way that they were passed away. Likewise you find, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Don't perceive those people being killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being dead. They are alive with their Lord and provision has been provided to them. You can go and read the tafsir of this ayah. And most ulama of tafsir, they don't talk about this concept. They talk about what? The shuhada. The martyrs, that their soul is placed inside green birds and they come and rest underneath the lanterns, underneath Arshur Rahman, underneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point we're trying to use here is if the shuhada are living, they are living, so obviously the messenger is living. That's the point we're trying to highlight. And we don't negate that fact. We don't negate the fact that the Prophet is not living. The concept here is, what is the type of living? They're trying to conclude that he is living like the way he was living upon this earth. And this is where the difference begins to take place. We classify that this is known as Hayatul Barzakhiyah. This is the interspace. That once you enter, you leave this dunya, you leave this earth, you go into a different interspace, which is like the blinking of an eye. We don't have knowledge about it. We only know that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about it, or that which has been prophesied by the Prophet Muhammad sallam, to begin to split it open and say, this is what it means, that he is alive inside his grave. وَوَحَيٌّ فِي لَحْدِهِ حَيَاتٌ مِثْلُهُ فِي الْبَرْزَخِ. As you find Imam al-Dhahabi, he mentions, he is alive inside his grave. But that is a life which is alive inside the barzakh. Likewise, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he mentions, لِأَنَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ حَيًّا فَهِيَ حَيَاتٌ أُخْرَوِيَّةٌ. Even though Messenger is alive, this is a different form of life that we cannot seem to yani, understand. لَا تَشْبَهُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. This life inside the grave does not resemble the living upon this earth. Likewise, you find, الَّذِي يَقُولْ إِنَّ حَيَاتُ فِي الْبَرْزَخِ مِثْلُ حَيَاتِي فِي الدُّنْيَا كَاذِبٌ وَهَذِهِ مَقَالَةُ الْخُرَافِينَ. Those people who say that the Messenger is actually living in the grave, like he's physically, he used to live upon this earth, this is a deviant view. There's a view that goes against the creed yani, of Ahl Sunnah. And so we find that some of them begin to quote, مَنْ صَلَّى عَلَيَّ عِنْدَ قَبْرِي سَمِعْتُهُ. Whoever makes the durood and the salam upon my grave, I hear that individual. So once again, as we mentioned before, they say we don't believe in durood, we don't believe in saying salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This statement is mawdu, is rejected by the ulama of hadith. It's not authentic, because this contradicts the following hadith which we authenticate in the Sunnah of Imam Nasa'i that we find, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةً سَيَّاحِينَ يُبَلِّغُونِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي السَّلَامِ. There are indeed angels that are going around the earth, and whoever sends the salutations upon me, the angels, they come and they convey it to me. So the angels come and convey it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He does not physically hear that salam, that greeting that you give to him. The angels convey it to him. As we know in the hadith, that he is brought back to life and he hears that salam and he responds. As for kayfiyya, how? How is it done? How is it possible? As we mentioned, this is majhool, this is unknown. That's the stance of Ahlul Sunnah. We don't delve into this. This is hayatul yani barzakhiyya. And likewise you find, there are no recorded instances that if the Prophet Muhammad is alive inside his grave, there are no recorded instances of any one of the companions going to his blessed grave, going there and speaking to the Prophet Muhammad or saying something and the Prophet Muhammad responding to him. Somehow in response to these other individuals, somehow, I don't know how, Allah Alam, he responds to them, but the Prophet Muhammad did not respond, or did not, none of the companions went there and spoke to the Prophet Muhammad. So that's quite strange. As we mentioned previously, either our love is more accurate or their love is more accurate. And the Quran mentions, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقُ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever contends with the messenger after the truth has been shown to that individual, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and follows a way other than the way of the believers. Who are the believers in this ayah? The believers are who? Are the companions. That's what the ulama of Tafsir mentioned. The believers are the companions. You never find any one of them. You never find Abu Bakr. You never find Umar. You never find Uthman. You never find Ali. Is your love today more than Umar? And we all know the stance of Umar when he was told the Prophet has left this world. Is it any man who says that? I will decapitate his head. I will chop off his head. Indeed, he's going to meet Allah just like Musa alayhi salam went to meet Allah. He went ballistic in his iman. So is your iman like Abu Bakr? Is it like Umar? If you say that, that's clear kufr. That is kufr. That's what you call kufr. That you are now saying that my iman understanding is better than the companions. I have the rationale and the ability and more love and devotion in these individuals that we can come to his grave and ask from his grave. Likewise, you find that this leads on to that he is present at every single location. That's his gathering before and after his death. The concept of hazar wa nazar that we find, hadara wa nadara, that he is present and he hears everything around us. Based upon what? The evidences that they use. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. Indeed, we said he is a witness, and one who's giving the glad tidings and warning people. So at all times, he's warning the people and giving them the glad tidings. Likewise, you find, وَالرَّسُولُ فِيكُمْ. The messenger is within you, from amongst you. So they take it literally once again. The messenger is around us. Even today, he gathers and he's around us. Yet the Quran negates his presence, negates his knowledge before and the future events. The Quran, for example, mentions, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمْ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. Talk about Maryam alayhi salam, you was not there when they were disputing about Maryam alayhi salam, or they were throwing the lots to see who was going to take care of Maryam alayhi salam. Likewise, Musa, وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْقَرْبِ. He was not at the western side of the mountain. إِذْ قَضَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى الْأَمْرَ وَمَا كُنْتَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. When we laid out the command upon Musa alayhi salam, he was not one to witness that. Likewise, in Nuh alayhi salam, he was not present at that time, the revelation given to Nuh alayhi salam. Likewise, Yusuf alayhi salam, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ. So this is the revelation of the unseen, the news that we're informing you. You had no knowledge regarding this. So if the Prophet Muhammad had the previous knowledge and the future knowledge, so why is the Quran negating it? This becomes a contradiction. If he knows the past and he knows the future, or he has the knowledge of the ultimate future, that is incorrect. Because the Quran on numerous occasions mentions that if he had the knowledge of the unseen, the total knowledge of unseen, no harm would have ever touched me. And I would have gathered all of the blessings would have befallen upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the light of Islam, will continue. But before we come to that conclusion, I want to mention some of these fabricated ahadith that we find, that we mentioned on many occasions, just to complete our task. Many of these statements, you find that people quote them in their ghulu, in excessive zeal and passion and love towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst them, you find in the Jawzi in his kitab, Mawdu'at has collected them. Likewise, other famous ulama, Mullah Ali Qari, in his collection of weak narrations. Likewise, Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani's collection as well, Silsilatul Al-Da'ifa, etc. that we find. Man wulida lahu mawlud, fasammahu Muhammadan, tabarrukan bihi kana huwa wal-walid fil jannah. Whoever has a son and names his son Muhammad, seeking barakah, seeking blessings by calling their son Muhammad, كَانَ هُوَ وَالْوَالِدْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He and his father will both be there inside paradise. This hadith is mawdu'. مَنْ وَلَدَ لَهُ ثَلَاثٌ أَوْلَادٌ فَلَا يُسَمَّ أَحَدٌ مُحَمَّدٌ فَقَدْ جَهِلَ. Whoever has three sons or three children and doesn't name them Muhammad, that person is an ignorant individual. مَا مِنْ مُسْلِمْ دَنَا مِنْ زَوْجَتِهِ. There's no Muslim who comes close, intimate towards one's wife. وَهُوَ يَنْوِي إِنْ حَمَلَتْ مِنْهُ يُسَمِّيهِ مُحَمَّدًا إِلَّا رَزَقَ اللَّهُ ذَكَرًا. Whoever makes an intention that I want to have a son and I'm going to name him Muhammad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely bless him with what? With a male son. Fabricated statement. Likewise, one, al-wardu al-ahmar min araq al-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The red rose is from the sweat of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man shamma al-ward, whoever smells a red rose, walam yusalli alayya faqad jafani, batil. Whoever smells a red rose and doesn't send durood and salam upon me has basically shown disrespect to me, is a false sinning statement. Kana naqshu khatim Sulaiman ibn Dawood, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, on his ring is written la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Kana ya'khud min lihyatihi min 'arbiha wa tuliha. The person used to take from his beard, from the width and the length of it. This is fabricated. The Prophet Muhammad never took anything from his beard. كَانَ يَرَى فِي الظَّلَمَةِ كَمَا يَرَى فِي الضَّوْءِ. The person could see in the dark like he would see during the daytime. Like he had some special vision, is fabricated in his statement. حَمْلُ الْعَصَى عَلَامَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَسُنَّةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. The carrying of a stick, is a sign of a believer and the way of the prophets. التَّوَكُّ عَلَى عَصَى مِنْ أَخْلَاقِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Carrying, resting upon the staff, the stick, is from the characteristics of the anbiya. وَكَانَ لِلْرَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ a stick and he would rest upon that. Likewise, you find مَسْحُ الْعَيْنَيْنِ بِبَاطُنِ أُمَّلَتَيْنِ السَّبَّابَتَيْنِ بَعْدَ تَقْبِيلِهِمَا عِنْدَ سَمَاعِ قَوْلِ الْمُعَدِّلِ. So once again, the kissing of one's thumb or kissing of the inside of one's fingers and rubbing them upon one's eyes when you hear the adhan, we find that this is مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ حَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّفَاعَةِ. Then my intercession becomes halal for that individual, or it removes any ailment or sickness from the eyes, is a fabricated statement. مَنْ زَارَنِي وَزَارَ أَبِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ فِي عَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَقَدْ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever visits my grave and visits the grave of our grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salam will definitely enter way into paradise. مَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ وَلَمْ يَزُرْنِي فَقَدْ جَفَانِي. Whoever goes to perform hajj and doesn't visit my grave has shown disrespect towards me, is hadith which is mawdu, which is fabricated. مَنْ حَجَّ فَزَارَ قَبْرُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِي كَانَ كَمَنْ زَارَنِي فِي حَيَاتِي. Whoever comes to my grave, once I've left this world, then as if they're visiting me whilst I am alive. And some of these people even make bold statements. They say, you performing hajj, performing umrah, is why? Because the Prophet ﷺ has called you. He's called you, so you're responding to that call. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined that. Physically they'll say that, the Prophet called you, so now you're coming to his grave and responding to that call. Likewise, you find that in the hadith that we've mentioned previously, that when Adam alayhi salam, he made that mistake and he looked up to the heavens and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and he used the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is all any fabricated statements that we find. Likewise, you find من حج حجة الإسلام وزار قبري وغزى غزوة وصلى علي في المقدس لم يسأله الله فيما افترض عليه. If a person performs Hajj and visits my grave and goes out for jihad and prays inside Bayt al-Maqdis, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask that person about the action that carried out inside their life. Likewise, you find that أوحى الله إلى عيسى عليه السلام يا عيسى آمن بمحمد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to عيسى عليه السلام أو محمد بليل وأمر من أدركه من أمتك أن يؤمنوا به. And whoever comes from the ummah to tell them to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَلَوْلَا مُحَمَّدْ مَا خَلَقْتُ مُحَمَّدْ وَلَوْلَا مُحَمَّدْ مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارِ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْتُ الْعَرْشَ عَلَى الْمَاءِ فَاتَّرَبَ فَكَتَبْتُ عَلَيْهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَسَكَنَ. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the arsh, it began to move. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, told it to be written, and the arsh became stable. From the kalima لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَوْلَا لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَاكِ. If it wasn't for you, a messenger, we would not have created the heavens and the earth. Likewise, you find other actions talking about making a salah and salam. أذيبوا طعامكم بذكر الله والصلاة. Digest your food by making dhikr of Allah and salah upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ولا تناموا عليه فَالْتَقْصُوَ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Don't sleep just upon a full stomach, because indeed your hearts will become harsh. So one way to digest your food is to make dhikr of Allah and to send durood and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. هو حديث من الموضوع. كان يكثر من أكل ابن الدباء. Used to excessively eat the pumpkin. But he said, إنه يكثر eating his food while you're eating his food. ويزيد من في الأقل. It helps the mind, it helps the intellect. So eating pumpkins is good for your mind and your intellect. It's a fabricated yani hadith. كان إذا أشفق من الحاجة أن ينساها جعل في يده خيطا ليذكرها. If the person forgot something, he would take a piece of thread and place it upon his hand or wrap it around him to remind him about something. ما مات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى قرأ وكتب. The person did not die until he learned how to read and write. Where the Quran says he is classified as what? Ummi, an illiterate individual. كان إذا أخذ من شعره أو قلم أظفاره أو احتجم بعث به إلى البقي فدفن. باطل. Person would take something from his hair or take clippings of his nail, or he would carry out the hijama. He would send the leftover remnants to to Jannat al-Baqi, and it would be buried inside there. This statement is باطل, is false. كان بلال إذا أراد أن يقيم الصلاة قال السلام عليكم أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته يرحمك الله. So this is possibly where they get the evidence of saying درود and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad before the adhan. خليل من هذه الأمة أويس القرني. My close comrade and my friend upon this earth is أويس القرني, who's classified as one of the main founders and leaders of tasawwuf that we find. حديث منكر. ما احتمل نبي قط. The prophets never have any wet dreams. إنما الاحتلام من الشيطان. Wet dreams are from the devil. حديث باطل. أتاني جبريل بقدر. جبريل came with a pot. فأكلت منها. I ate from it. فأعطيت قوة 40 رجلا في الجماع. So I ate from this food. I was given the power of 40 individuals via this relationship. This hadith which is false. Likewise you find يا عائشة ألا تعلمون أن الله زوجني في الجنة مريم بنت عمران وكلثوم أخت موسى وامرأة فرعون. حديث منكر. That in the day of judgment Allah has married me to Maryam, the daughter of Imran, and Kulthum, the ukht of Musa, and the wife of Fir'aun. كان يسافح النساء وعلى يده ثوب. The person used to meet the women and upon his hand was a garment. This is false, da'if, very weak. The person never ever shook any strange woman's hand. And thus you can see how, I don't want to become sarcastic once again, how they allow women to touch and come in front of their feet and to touch them, etc. For them, somehow it's allowed. But the Prophet never ever touched any strange woman's hand or body parts ever in his life, except for who? His blessed wives. Never in his life. He said rather if a person who touches a strange woman, to have an iron rod going straight through their hand. Is amongst the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. For them, somehow becomes allowed, the strange woman can sit in front of them and touch them, etc. إِذَا حَدَّثْتُمْ عَنِّي حَدِيثًا يُوَافِقُ الْحَقِّ فَخُذُوا بِهِ. If you hear a hadith regarding me and it corresponds to the truth, then follow it. Why? حَدَّثْتُ بِهِ أَوْلَمْ أُحَدِّثْ بِهِ. Whether I said it or did not say it, if it corresponds to the truth, you should just follow it. So this is the asas. This is the foundation of these people. As long as it comes into the mind, as long as it corresponds with feelings and understanding, we should accept it. But we know according to Al-Islam that we follow the isnad. We follow the chain of narrations. We follow authenticity. We don't follow emotional blackmail, that these people are being derogatory, because the Quran tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. O Messenger, convey to the people what has been given to you. If you do not do it, then you have not lived true to the message. وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And Allah will protect you from the people. So we don't need to invent narrations. We don't need to make anything up. Everything is crystal clear about the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just in conclusion that we want to conclude and mention, inshallah, that the light of the Prophet Muhammad will continue, and that is the light of Islam. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. These people want to remove the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths. وَيَعْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will complete his light even though disbelievers may dislike that. And a side point, no one should try to twist my words and say that I'm saying that you are disbelievers or you are mushrikun. I've never ever said that. I've laid out the evidence of belief and the creed of Ahl Sunnah. I'm only using these evidences to highlight the point that you cannot blow out the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. He's the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent his messenger with huda, with the right guidance to make it prevail and to be dominant over all other ways of life, even though the mushrikun may despise this. And thus we find that which is good, that which is fruitful will remain. That which is incorrect, incorrect speech, incorrect behavior, incorrect intentions that we have, that will be uprooted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's as the Quran mentions, كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. Just likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out the parable of truth and then falsehood. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. As for that which is foam, it goes away like scum. That which has no value, it's just empty statements, it just flows away like the ocean takes away any the filth or the rubbish. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَقُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. As for that which benefits the people, that will remain, inshallah. We will come and we will go, but the truth will remain. That is what we are following inside our life. The truth will always remain dominant upon the earth. That's going to be a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you find, وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ. A good soil, a good ground, a good fertilization, a good teaching. You find what happens? It brings about its fruits. It brings about the benefits towards the people. وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا. That which is corrupt or bad only brings that little benefit for the people. كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَشْكُرُونَ. That's how we explain the ayat, that people will become really grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are trying to establish the goodly tree. As the Quran mentions, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجْرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. The good tree is based in a good soil. It branches out, the branches go out to the heavens, and they give out good fruit, good benefits. أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ. Its essence is rooted inside the ground. And then we find that that which is a bad tree, or bad words, مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ, have no benefit at all. This and that and whatever accusations it may be, they have no benefit towards the people. They're just uprooted and taken away. No one pays attention towards them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes by mentions that Ibrahim here, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُدِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes firm قول الثابت. Those people who live upon لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. People who live and they spend their life. وَتُعَزِّرُهُ وَتُوَقِّرُهُ. With the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, in his tafsir, what does it mean to seek dignity, honor, respect, reverence, protect the Prophet Muhammad? Go and read in great detail what it means. And then you can conclude that who are the people who are trying to defend the honor of the Prophet Muhammad, who are trying to defend his dignity, who are placing him in the right appropriate position that belongs to him without any deficiency that some people are trying to attribute towards us or other individuals. Our love and our belief is paramount towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. That Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is closer to us than even our own selves. And as we began with, we did not come here to entertain or to mock or to ridicule any individual. These are the evidence we laid out. They were laid out previously, laid out today, and they remain, inshallah, standing for the rest of time. We will come and go, this will remain. And see who can remove these statements have been presented from Quran and Sunnah and falsified these statements. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَلِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. سُبْحَانَكَ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. بارك الله فيكم.